Here's a little bit of my life story and testament by Margaret Sherratt. It was 1945, just after the war had ended in July, that I was born. In Sandyford, to my parents Elsie and Thomas Evans. And by the time I was 5 years old, my parents had had four more children. My brother Alan, Sheila, and the twins Rita and Thomas. So, I've been a sibling mum since I was 5 years old. In October 1952, my mother had to go into hospital, as she was having another baby. And there were some complications, so she had to stay there for complete rest. On Boxing Day, my mother had another son, my brother Gordon, and during this time, my mum had been in hospital for 3 months, which meant myself, Alan, Sheila and the twins had to go into care. And we were there all over Christmas and through into the new year, as my dad couldn't work full time and look after us as well. I started to lose weight and it wasn't the best of times for any of us, as we were all separated. My mum came home in the new year of 1953, but my health still wasn't very good. And the health visit suggested that I go into a convalescent home. My dad didn't want me to go, but it was for my sake that they let me go. The convalescent home I went to is in Anchurch, which is also now the United Christian Broadcast Radio Station. I went there some years ago for a conference, and it was quite an emotional time, to say the least. Anyway, I went there so they could build and strengthen my body back up. I was there for a total of 6 months, two spells of 3 months. So I was separated from my parents yet again. I was at Anchurch during the Queen's coronation, and I remember getting a morgue and a picture of the Queen on it, and a silk hanky with a Union Jack. And on one of my visits home, I gave this to my mum as a present. Then I had to go back, and I remember winning a book about rabbits, which when I came home finally I gave to my dad, and he laughed. He says, "Your mum gets a lovely mug and an hanky and I get a book on rabbits." I also remember going to church every Sunday, and it was in an old converted cowshed. Do you know something? I can still smell that now. As times went on, my mum had two more children, Raymond and Terry. That meant 8 of us in total, and times were really hard. In 1957, my father had the chance of a better job, with less hours, as he had been working double shifts for years on H&R Johnson's tile factory in Tunstall. But it meant that we all had to leave Stoke. And on the 30th into the 31st of October, we left and moved to Halifax in West Yorkshire. So, we had to leave all our friends behind as well. I was 12 years old. At first we lived in a boarding house with my father's friend. And just before Christmas we moved into our own house. It wasn't much. It was what you would call a back-to-back house. But we were all together. We had no electricity, just gas for cooking and lighting. And believe it or not, we had to go around the next street, which was the backs of our houses, to use the communal toilet. In 1960, I left school at the age of 15, and I worked full-time in McIntosh's chocolate factory. Then, when I got home, myself and my brothers and sisters had our jobs to do in the house, and we all had to do our share. In fact, that's how it is, should be today, kids. My dad used to leave a list of jobs for us all to do on the kitchen wall, and they all had to be done before he got in from work. After tea, I got ready and went to work again in the cinema until 10 o'clock in the evening. for extra pocket money. Eventually we moved back here to Stoke as my mum wanted to come back home. So yet again, we had to say goodbye to all the friends we had made. In 1965, I got married. I was 19. And I had two children by the time I was 21. My husband was a coal miner and we lived in one of the houses provided by the coal board. But he lost his job, so that meant we lost our home, as we lived in. So we had to live in lodgings. We lost two more homes after that, which meant I had nowhere to live. So I walked the streets with my two boys, and I did this on numerous occasions. And at one time, we had to live in a house that accommodated four families, and the four of us had to share a bedroom, and everything else in the house we had to share. One bathroom, one kitchen. It was awful. My husband was a gambler and a drinker. He was cruel both physically and mentally. In 1980, we moved it to Fergays, to the home I now live in. And I vowed that I would never walk the streets with my children again. I have lived here now for over 40 years, and I can't begin to tell you how many places I lived in before I moved to where I am now. My marriage wasn't the best, but I tried my hardest to play my part as a mother and a wife. But in 1981, I found I was pregnant again after 15 years. And in August, I had my daughter Kelly. And I thought she would bring us closer, but that wasn't to be. The boys didn't have a very good relationship with their dad, and it was the same for Kelly too. I held down three jobs 6 days a week, and at times, so that I could keep food on the table. So in October 1991, I'd had enough. And my marriage was well and truly over, and I filed for divorce. When I did finally make my mind up to go and see a solicitor, I held my hands up and told him of the things I myself had done wrong in the years gone by. In January 1992, I had to give up working because of my health. And by April 92, my divorce came, so it seemed as if my life was crumbling around me. Times were really getting harder. My oldest son had already left home, and Daryl also was moving out, and not long after, so Kelly and I struggled along. Sheila had already started going to church and kept asking me to go with her, but I spent my time revelling in self-pity because I was so low and depressed and downhearted. Many times I felt jealous of my siblings, as they all had their own homes and good jobs. Towards the end of 1995, I started going to church, and on January the 21st of 1996, I gave my heart to the Lord. By May the 28th, I got baptised at Silverdale Elam Church, along with four other members of my family, my mum, my brother Tom, my daughter Kelly and Sheila's daughter Teresa. It was a wonderful evening, one I will never forget. Times were still very hard for Kelly and I, and at one time I rented our television and we had to send it back as we couldn't afford to renew the television licence. As the years went by, I became more confident and had more self-esteem, and it began to grow. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that my life would be turned upside down. I have always liked singing and even joined a singing group. And over 20 years I entertained in residential homes for the elderly people, and I found that very rewarding. I don't know how it came about, but Radio Stoke approached me in January 2004 to do a workshop called Inside Lives. It was a lovely experience, especially meeting people and listening to them. We all wrote our own stories about things that had happened in our lives, and we had a good laugh about it. We recorded it in the studio, then edited ourselves and put it onto a CD. For several days, each of our stories went on air on the radio. This is the first story I ever did, and it was based in around my father, as he always told me what a nice singer I was, and how he had inspired me to go on singing, and also how it led me to becoming born again, which I called my story, Born Again. During my lifetime, we lost so many of our family. It started in 1966 when my brother Terry drowned at the tender age of 7 years old. He had been missing for 3 days, and they found him in the canal at Ravensdale in Tunstall. In 1981, my father was working cleaning in one of the classrooms at the school he worked at, and he died of a massive heart attack. He was 54. In 2005, my brother Alan died in Canada in tragic circumstances at 58, when he committed suicide. Sheila and I had to go and tell my mum the news. We were all devastated, and I think it was one of the worst things that Sheila and I ever had to do. In 2007, we lost our nephew Lee at the age of 29, when he took an overdose of drugs and died in a disused mill. My mum passed away in 2010. She had dementia, but what a lovely peaceful passing she had, and to hold her hand was so consoling. Sheila lost her husband in 2011, and then in 2012 we lost our brother Raymond, who died of an heart attack in his sleep, and he was only 58. He was the dad of our nephew who had passed away through drugs. His heart died that day, and he never got over it. And it was really a trying time for us all to see him going through so much pain. So all in all, as a family, we have had our share of heartache. We've also lost all our family on both sides of our parents. And it's only by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ who keeps our spirits moving that we thank you, Lord. The most important thing is to keep on praying for our families and help them to come to know Jesus and try our best to bring the prodigals back. Then when we depart from this life, we will know that one day we will see them again in eternity. I thank God for the strength he has given me through difficult times and for giving me a forgiving heart. Forgiveness is a must. Bitterness and hatred eats away at you and drags you down. So you begin to learn and forgive. For God forgave me and I had to forgive others. So today, if there's anyone here that I have hurt or upset in any way, then please forgive me, because I love each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I began to write poetry and did quite a few, and Kathleen did me a book of my own, and then we did one together. When I asked Jesus into my life, I knew there was no turning back. My life was about to begin. Some years later, Pastor Peter asked me to be a deaconess in the church, and I was totally overwhelmed and never stopped crying for a week. I also became the church secretary and the catering manageress, and I began to sing in the worship band. I have worked alongside Sheila in the Jubilee Project for 7 years, which I enjoy immensely. And I work with Jane, my sidekick, in the Friendship Cafe every 2 weeks. And we still make mistakes, but don't we all? But we all have to learn from them. I have it all in Jesus, and what more could we possibly want? If my lovely sister hadn't have kept asking me to come to church, well, I just dread to think where I would be now. But it was all meant to be, and down to the Lord. It was my time. And if you think you're not worthy, if you think you're not good enough because of the things you have done in your life, Look here. Look at me. We all have a past, and I'm more than most. But there is a far better future if you just let Jesus into your heart. Look at me. He chose me. Thank you, Lord.